he's a low runner. You know, his center of gravity is really low. During the game last week, felt like he was driving the pile by himself. Like he's got a lot of power to him, and very excited to see what he can do these next couple weeks and the next couple games. But yeah, to see practice, defense wants to thud, offense you got to bring your shoulder pads too, and typically low man's going to win in those scenarios. And like I said, he's a pretty low runner.
Josh Allen on undrafted free agent rookie running back Ian Wheeler. Sal and I talked about him for a minute yesterday, right around this time. Sal said that Wheeler had a run where he just, Sal's word, trucked somebody. And I think I spent a few minutes, like 24 hours ago, sitting here talking about how there are sometimes players in the preseason that you didn't even know existed, and they make a mark. I think it's usually running backs or wide receivers through the years. Like, there's often one guy, Christian Wade. I referenced him yesterday, but had forgotten his name in the moment. The rugby player trying to make it in football. Wheeler is a curiosity for me. Ty Johnson has been hurt. James Cook probably doesn't play at all. Let's go see what Ian Wheeler looks like on the field. Sal said that he thinks he had passed Frank Gore Jr. How do you like Zay Jones getting his name back on the show there? Signing with Houston. He has stayed in the league, Zay Jones. Not big years or anything. One with Jacksonville was pretty good, 82 catches. That was in 22. But he has lasted. And I don't know, like these kind of signings, Sterling Shepard and Zay Jones, they felt Houston that they needed bodies. And it remains to be seen whether these guys even make the roster for that opener against the Bills. But Shepard has, I mean, I'm not serious about him or anything, but I always liked Sterling Shepard. It seemed like there was a good player in there. But he was hurt a lot and just, you know, had his career kind of curtailed by that. Jones was an enigma here. The Bills traded him during the 2019 season to the Raiders. And since then, he's been with Jacksonville and even last year with Arizona. When I think about Zay Jones, I think about my friends who won the FFPC main event 2 years in a row. And that's an amazing feat. You have to be good enough to sort of qualify for the playoffs, and then you have to beat some number of other teams that also did that to win the $1 million, as it happens. And I learned a lesson from these guys, and it involved Zay Jones. Because I've gotten teams to that sprint too, that's great, but I've never come close to winning it. And what they knew to do, I mean, it doesn't have to work, but you know, think about it this way. In that kind of tournament, you're competing with teams that have the same top players as you do very often. Whoever, if Jonathan Taylor is the best running back of the year in fantasy football, then naturally his teams are more likely to make it to those last weeks than somebody who was injured, you know? So you're going to see a lot of Jonathan Taylor, if that's the guy for this example. And what they figured out to do was, I don't think it was Jonathan Taylor, it doesn't matter, bench two better, presumably better players for Jerick McKinnon and Zay Jones in that particular week, just to be different. Because if I'm going to put the same guys as you on the field and or I'm in the lineup and I'm behind you, then I'm not getting anywhere this way. I might move up the leaderboard a little bit, but I'm not like winning if I do that. So I wish I could remember who they benched. Maybe Nick is or Sean is listening and would be able to tell me. But they benched, you know, I'm sort of sometimes a slave to the app and just like, what is the more optimal play? And I just really didn't have the courage to go against that. But these guys did. And wouldn't you know, both, I think this is right, both McKinnon and Zay Jones that day had 3 touchdowns. And boom, they skyrocketed all the way to first place. I think that's the Hamlin year. I think that's the second year they won. I'm pretty sure of that. I want to call up that. It was Jacksonville and Dallas, if I remember right. And, yep, there it is. Week 15. That's right, because that tournament is weeks 15 through 17. And They started Zay Jones, who had had sort of a okay season against Dallas. Jacksonville wins the game in overtime, 40-34. I mean, it sort of works because that probably was expected to be a shootout, like a lot of other Dallas games. And he caught three touchdowns to in that game. Not even nothing in overtime. They won on a pick six in overtime, as I'm looking at it. And McKinnon, I think McKinnon might have scored in overtime. How do you like that? That's running pretty pure. When you make two plays like that, and both games go to overtime. Chiefs, there it is. Chiefs, Texans. I can't say I remember this better than they would, where it's two touchdowns. Nope, it's three. No, doesn't matter, but I just want to be right. I guess it's two and a two-point conversion. What did McKinnon give them that day? Nick's driving around. He's talking about me? 10 for 52 and a touchdown, 8 for 70 and a touchdown receiving. Nice. So, might not apply to your leagues, but if you were to play in a tournament like this, and I play a lot and should have already known that, if, you know, you get close to having a real chance of winning. And they went all the way to the top, survived the last 2 weeks. They had the Hamlin incident, and that game gets canceled, and they won. So, I remember they had that game against the Bills-Bengals game. They needed to fade Devin Singletary. You know, like not get a big game from Devin Singletary. And the game didn't get far enough along for it to ever really be, close or known or anything like that. Zay Jones, you know, good luck to him. Maybe the Bills end up facing him in the opener. Or Sterling Shepard. Houston is down. Jaden Higgins out for the year. And still Tank Dell, it seems. So it's Nico Collins and, I don't know, Xavier Hutchinson. There'll be other guys. Like, it makes sense that they went outside. I think, you know, some people were speculating a trade, but no trade. They did this instead. So far, at least. We got a company email this morning with the sad news that our former colleague and really a legend in the game, Sandy Beach, had died last week. He was 86. I don't have many, unfortunately for me, too many like personal stories with him, but I'll say a couple things. First, like I think anybody would say that knew him or knew of him. I mean, they don't get much bigger in radio than Sandy Beach. He's in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, for starters. Like, as a DJ in the, you know, decades ago. I remember when I was in high school, so late 80s, I was in an internship program, and I was working at Channel 2 once or twice a week as a high school intern. And Sandy was a speaker at an event where all the interns were there, and, you know, he was really fun and funny, and, you know, he's such a big guy, too, if you didn't know. Sandy Beach was really tall and big, and so a real presence. And he had a gift for conversation, and always seemed to do it with a smile on his face. He was like that. At least that was my, and I think a lot of people who knew him would say the same thing. Those were mostly my interactions with him. It was never anything else. You know, we didn't really see each other that often. He was on a different time slot, and, you know, not always, but didn't really spend a lot of time with him. I remember that our old boss, who has recently left our company, who was very close to Sandy, and he and I had many great conversations. Just loved to talk about radio, and even though I worked for him until just like a month ago, we always had like very nice, easy conversations. Tim Wenger. And Tim wrote in this email today to tell us all that Sandy had died, about how he, when he started here, he went to get him from Milwaukee and brought him to Buffalo. And like, I think they were close friends, but he would tell me, and we're all different in this way. Bosses are different and hosts are different. He would tell me that Sandy always liked to sit with him before his show and just sort of like talk about what he wanted to talk about. And I am really not like that. I've had to do it at times, and I certainly would do it if asked, but I'm more sort of spontaneous. I mean, I have my own process and my own notes, But I don't really have that, like, I guess that I have to say interest in that, but I'm an employee. But Tim would say that Sandy loved to do that. He wanted sort of almost like it was warming up, that he would, you know, sit in Tim's office and talk about his ideas and different things. And so different approach, but just a great broadcaster, a legend, and very sad to hear about his death today. I guess it was last week, but we found out today. So, yeah, sad news in this building. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off today. He'll be back with me on Monday. Take a break here. This is WGR.